Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey guys, Jeremy Lambert, Joe Holbert here. I know you guys are usually expecting our cold open, and I promise to have a 15-minute video birthday package with the news of Daphne passing that didn't feel appropriate for this. We'll get to all that stuff later. As many people know, Joseph and I are big advocates of mental health, and it's tragic what happened to Daphne, and it's a tough loss anytime in the wrestling world, and especially when it comes to something like this. And we thought it was more appropriate to open the show just discussing mental health and just basically saying, if you need anyone, if you need to talk to anyone, I know I speak for Joseph, but feel free to reach out to either of us. If you want to talk, if you're feeling down about anything, both of our DMs are open and we're here to talk about things. And it's,
I don't know, man. We so often, we take pride in distracting people and turn people's minds off stuff. This wasn't the time for that, right? You're right. This show is a wrestling show, apparently, but at core, it is about mental health. It's why you wanted to do the show. It's what the show means to me. So, I don't know, man. Just, you're not alone. There's always someone there for you. And, fuck, man. It's brutal.
Our fan base has grown a lot over the years. I don't know how many people have heard me tell this story, but I attempted suicide many years ago. Fortunately, didn't work. But I've hit rock bottom. I've been there. I got help that I've needed. It's tough. It's very tough. If you were in any type of position where you're feeling that way, you please say something. I know it's not easy. And if you're not in that position, just reach out to people. You never know what people are going through. We like to have a lot of fun, but you never know what people are going through. And reach out to your friends, send them messages, send them love, and check in on him. Royce da 5'9" has a song called Strong Friend. Have you heard that, Joseph?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one really hits me, because the people who you think are the strongest, they need checking in on too. So check in on your friends, everybody.
I do want to say, and listen, this is, it's just real, okay? So here's what it is. If my voice sounds like shit, here's what it is. I ain't gonna hide it from you, okay? Here's what it is. I don't want to lose Daphne in the whole message either. Like, an iconic character, very significant character. So, you know, love to her family, her friends, fans, all that good stuff, man. It's just, there's always someone. There's always someone.
Guys, we will start the show in just a moment. But right now, we're just going to do a moment of silence. We appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for sticking with us during this delay. And we'll try to do what we do. Joseph, we got to talk wrestling. It's a big week. It's a big week.
There's no good way to do this transition, right? I was just thinking about that.
Like, I didn't know how to transition out of that. And I will say, guys, again, I know I promised the 15-minute video packages of birthday messages. I promised a huge pop, my birthday gift to Joseph. We're still going to do that because you guys, I appreciate all the love in the chat. Thank you guys right now. I wanted to cancel the show. I texted Joseph. I said, I don't want to do it. I broke down during the Tony Khan media call. You see, Joseph is a... He's going through emotions right now.
It's been like this for 2 hours, man.
Yeah. I didn't want to do the show today, but I saw everything in the chat and everybody saying, you know, this is something we need right now and sending us love and everything. So the least we can do is, again, try to do what we do. We got some super chats. JJ says, hello to favorite big stars. Thank you for everything that you both do. Thank you for all the great distractions. Love you both and the community. Thank you, JJ. The head of PR, top guy, absolute top guy. We love you, JJ. Thank you, buddy. Bud Ryan says, thank you and this community for all the laughs and friendship. Lost my dad on my birthday last Sunday. Being in the chat, popping y'all has helped me a lot. Bud, I'm sorry, buddy. Thank you for all the graphics and everything you have done for this show. You helped promote this show more than anyone that's not actually on the show over this
past. I mean, more than us, right?
I did a lot of promotion for this, Joseph. I did a lot of promotion, but Bud did put together a lot of graphics. Some I asked for specifically. Some he just messaged me at like 5 a.m. It was like, hey, I couldn't sleep. Here you go. So thank you, Bud. And I'm sorry for your loss, buddy. But thank you for all you do. All right. What all outs this weekend, Joseph? I'll be there. CM Punk will be there. That's the rumor. I think that's actually confirmed. Daniel Bryan will be there. That's the rumor. That's the report. Drew, thanks, buddy, for everyone. You're all amazing. Love y'all. Thank you, Drew. Drew, a big friend, a big supporter of the community, and just another just top guy. We have so many great people in this community. Thank you, guys. All out, Joseph. What's funny is we did a stream on our Patreon last night, and you asked myself and Shoot top three matches you're most looking forward to, and I gave one, and then I had trouble with the next two. But we spent like 15 minutes talking about Andrade and Pac and what it meant for Andrade and like his AEW progression and his career and everything. And literally like 5-10 minutes after this discussion, there was announced that the match is off due to travel restrictions. And now things have shifted. They did the 10-man tag and put that up there, or in the buy-in, they set that up last night. This is all to set up how disappointed are you that Bud Matt is not going to be on this show? Well,
everyone tweeted me. Matt did this pose, which was like Bud's Messiah thing.
Yeah.
And everyone DM'd it to me and tweeted me, and I got very excited. And then it was just, he showed up on the graphic. He just does that. That's his pose. So no one informed me of this. But I have to say it was funny because I set it up as if one of these matches was cancelled right now, which would be the three you're most bummed out about, right? And, you know, that actually happened, which is a shame. But All Out looks incredible, man. On paper, I think we've got takes on the build, which I think at this point, that is what it is. Like, the go-home felt more like maintenance than giving anything any huge heat, you know? So it, you know what the build is. That's what, that is what it is. In terms of the card, though, I mean, it's probably the strongest card they've produced, I would say, right? Because you have the Mystique.
I believe so.
He does? Okay. You know, you have the Mystique of Punk, too. So it's, there's a lot to be said for it, for sure. I mean, I'm very excited. Frankly, in fear of circling back here, because I don't want to do that, it's the one thing about pro wrestling, man. It's brutal. It's legitimately hard to cover up, like, sometimes. But there's always another show, right? This, our schedule doesn't slow any, like, you know, tomorrow night there'll be Rampage, and then Sunday will be, you know, be SmackDown, whatever you want to watch. I don't know. But there's always, you know, we distract people, which is nice, but the actual wrestlers themselves are going to do it. And Sunday is this, be real, Jeremy, this needs to be a hit for them. I think there's going to be new viewers. I don't know if they're going to buy it. They're going to watch through other means for sure. I think people are going to try and tune in for CM Punk, and they need the other guys to stand up and do their deal. So I'm confident. The match I'm circling more and more as it comes, both in terms of result and match quality, is the Bucks and Lucha Bros. You know, with last night's result, the Lucha Bros as winners feels like a real possibility, which I think is why they did it. They want to get you more convinced the Lucha Bros can win. But the idea of those two teams in a cage, you know, after doing an 80s angle last night where guys, babyface, are trying to get in, it feels like they're going to do a modern cage match with a whole lot of crazy stuff. And I'm intrigued by that. I'm not going to dismiss it. So, I don't know. I'm very excited. I'm intrigued how it's formatted and laid out so that you guys in the live crowd don't get exhausted. Like, what do you put first, second, that whole deal? But mostly as a fan, I'm just looking forward to it for some great wrestling, man. That's, you know, it'll be long, but it'll be great, I think.
I'm leaving the show after Kingston and Miro. Like, once that happens, don't really care about anything else. That's my main event. Punk can be on after, Omega, Christian, Cage, whatever. If that match opens the show, Joseph, like, I'm gone.
Just going to get that pre-show match in Miro and Kingston. I don't think it feels like it will be. I think it'll be pretty high because the style they work won't need a sort of rabid crowd, right? Because they're going to take it slow. I think Miro is going to beat Kingston up for a lot of that match. And the idea is that eventually, when it's time, the people are going to slowly start coming up with the Eddie chants and that whole deal, and Kingston will slowly get his way back in. And then you're going to get this DDT false finish, right? I mean, they're going to do something with that. I really think Lana is the finish of that match on Friday. I'm convinced of it. I think you're going to get a deal where Kingston actually has him beat, and now it comes Lana for like a, you know, she low blows King. And I think the Chicago crowd would go crazy for that. I mean, you know, it'd be real heat in the building. So I think that's where we're headed. But you and I are the same in this sense, probably for different sides of the, you know, the coin almost. You're that you want to see Miro most, and I'm Kingston glad. But these is two guys that, frankly, I think, and this is maybe a hot take, I don't really know, I don't care, but it's, to me, they're two of the most complete guys in the business, man. Like, fuck, Miro is such a great character now. He's selling. Everything's clicking with Miro. He's the guy that we all thought he could be. And Kingston is just, like, he doesn't miss in these big spots for them, man. Like, he has been such an addition. I really do believe, and I've said this before, I really think, Jeremy, that AEW's identity was solidified by Kingston's acquisition and arrival. Like, he, to me, represents a lot of what that promotion, in its idyllic form, most idyllic form, they symbolize. So that match is awesome. I hope they get 10, 12. They don't need any more than that, frankly. I just hope they get that much, which I think they will, but
if they go under 12, I'm calling the police.
Fair. Now, do you think there's a chance of a title change? Because you and I think, are both being like, no, but there's a lot of people that seem to put themselves into it, which is interesting to me.
I don't think so. I mean, you know me. I think Miro should just hold the title forever, and then he should beat Hangman Page whenever he wins the title the week after and take his title. I don't think they're going to do a title change here. It's possible, right? Like, no one's going to complain if Eddie Kingston has this title. Miro's on such a run right now that no, like, it's not a knock on Eddie, because Eddie can lose, cut one promo and be right back in the game. Like, he's fine. It's not a knock on Eddie that, like, oh yeah, he shouldn't be the guy. One, it's kind of a knock on this feud a little bit. I'd like a little bit more build to it. They've only cut one promo on each other. Like, they've done like two angles.
Yes.
Miro called him out. Eddie's only done one promo, and what a promo it was, by the way.
It was like 25 seconds long, too. It's crazy.
Yeah. An insane promo. And Miro's promo was, I pop. Like, you're right. We might get Lana. I pop every time this man is just like, I'm going to lay down for my wife in a hotel
room. Right. And so this is the thing. So the pal Romeo says, and it's a very fair comment. He says, is anyone else nervous about him, you know, CJ Tamiro's act? And I completely get it. The one thing I would say to everyone is, this is not going to be what you've seen them do in WWE.
Yeah.
This is a guy whose character so regularly references his hot wife getting his hot wife by his side. And I think they could be cool and awesome as that. Now, if you fear it, bro, I completely understand, because they did a lot of bad TV up there. I get it, but it's a different thing. It's a different format. And then here's the thing, too. She doesn't have to be on TV every week, but it's just part. She's part of the world they've built, right? He references her in every promo. It seems silly to me not to use it. Now, what I will say is, the short build makes me think there is a chance that this is really just the start. And with New York around the corner, if you get a Lana finish, I would not be surprised at all if you get a New York street fight or something at Arthur Ashe. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do this. Kingston, I think, would be a really good TNT champ for a short spell. He's not a long-term, you know, Darby Allin style, 6 months of having the best match every week, the guy, by no means. But he can have some compelling matches, and then you transition to it to someone that needs it more. Because the one thing I will say about Miro is, if when Kenny drops that belt, it feels like you're going to need to get Miro ready for like a pay-per-view main event. When he, like, you know, Hangman's going to need heels to work. MJF, to me, feels like the next champ. But you're not going to just drop it straight, right? So, like, I could definitely see Miro, and they think this far ahead, guys, as crazy as it sounds. I could see them wanting to get Miro away from TNT title just to get him ready to challenge for the big one. I could be misreading that. I don't know. But, and the beauty of this match is, as you said, like, don't we all agree the right decision is Miro winning? But if Kingston wins, we're all going to pop, right? Like, it's whatever.
Yeah. I don't think they can go wrong with the winner of this match. And you're right. Like, if Lana comes in, I think that gets genuine heat and not, like, go-away heat of, oh, no. Like, I understand people's concerns of Lana coming in there and they think it might be WWE. But, yeah, like you said, she's part of this world now. She's part of this act. She doesn't have to be there every week. She's about to go film this real life. Maybe they've already filmed it, but like, I think that's where her like real ambitions are. And I think that's where she'll mainly be. And then Miro can reference his hot wife doing reality television and they're bringing in two paychecks and stuff. Like, Miro will make it work. And I think Lana will make it work as well. This act is completely different. I'm pumped for this match. Everything else on this card, straight garbage.
Where are you at on the Christian Kenny deal? So you were there for the first one. We obviously we all loved that match. It was a great match.
It was great.
But where do we, like, I must admit, I don't think they've done a particularly, I think they've done a good job of keeping it steady. They've kept it on and they've done, like, you know, some neat video packages and they've told the story. But I think it would be fair to say they haven't, like, heated it up tremendously. Is that fair?
It's tough because they don't do like a lot of rematches and stuff. And of course they're doing Garcia and Darby again tomorrow night. But because they don't do that, this feels weird because of it. And I feel like they've struggled after the first match to kind of, even though Christian won, I feel like they've struggled to elevate it to like another level after the first match.
And by contrast, sorry, Jeremy, just quickly to add to that point, by contrast, MJF and Jericho, to their credit, they have that stipulation, right?
Yeah.
None of us really believe Christian's going to win the AEW title, but I think, even though I think Jericho's going to continue to wrestle and going to win on Sunday, you can a lot easier convince yourself he's retiring, right? So they've done a good job of adding a layer to it, even though I'm not particularly excited about the match. I agree with your point, but carry on.
I'm not excited about Jericho and MJF either, because we've seen it. The stipulation does add a different element. And I mean, Jericho has said, like, you know, he likes to do crazy things. Would he do this? Is he this crazy to be like, I'm done, this is the end of my AEW in-ring career? I don't know. I don't know about that. Well, I guess we'll find out on Sunday. But Jericho's very good. I will say this, even though I'm not super interested in the match, Jericho is good at like selling this kind of stuff, right? At least to me, like I believe that Jericho, because him just saying like, I like to do different things and I like to surprise people. That is very much Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Jericho likes to zig when others zag. Remember that game, Joseph? He very much likes to do that. And so that's almost sold me on, man, what if Jericho does lose this match? I don't think he will. I think MJF is losing, but he's kind of talked me into him, Jericho, that is, potentially losing this match. As far as Christian and Kenny goes, it really just feels like they're saying, we're just going to have a better match than we did at Rampage because there's no TV restrictions and we're just going to go out there and kill it. But there is no element to me of like Christian actually winning. I thought for the longest time they were going to add a ladder to this match. And unless it's a last minute thing, doesn't look like that's happening. I do think this match needed a little something extra since we just saw it. And it was a great match, mind you.
Right.
And I expect Sunday to be a great match as well. I'm just not sold on the idea of Christian actually losing or Christian actually winning this match.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I think it's very interesting that two of the marquee matches on this show are rematches from the last few weeks. That is very un AEW, and I think it's something they need to be very wary of, especially with a guy like Jericho, who there's a lot Jericho can bring to wrestling still. He is not a guy I think any of us single out as like a match of the year candidate guy anymore, right? And you know, Max isn't that really either, so having those to do a rematch, I think, is more questionable than Christian and Kenny. But again, as I said, at least they've got the little stip to, you know, as a bit of spice there. It would be interesting. It's interesting to me neither of them have like a gimmick to go with the match. You know, I thought they maybe do a last man standing or steel cage is the only gimmick. Am I missing something? That's the only actual like gimmick match. Obviously, yeah,
Battle Royal, but as far as it's
interesting. You know, Reese mentions Jim Ross, and the thing with Jericho is there's a whole lot of reasons to dislike Jericho. I get it. And I wouldn't blame anyone that doesn't care. There's so much power, though, in how long he's been on people's TV screens. So when he comes out and gives Jim Ross that hug, like, as much as us as cynics that live every day and we see their Twitter likes and we, you know, like, to the general person
at home. I added some of Chris Jericho's Twitter likes recently. I got a V-trigger him.
Oh, my. Sorry to hear that. You know, it's a powerful image for a lot of people. They have watched him for 20 years on TV, right? Like, more than that, 25 years on TV. There's a lot of emotional weight in Jericho's promo last night. I'll be honest, I thought at times it felt like he was trying a little hard. He was not as naturally emotional as I was at the start of this show. So, Chris, if you're watching, DM me, I'll help. He was trying to capture that, and he did a good job of it. It was a good promo. MJF's promo was incredible. I mean, it was really spiteful, like horrible, visceral stuff.
Yeah.
But it was perfect. And it was sometimes Max takes the low hanging fruit. And I think you could argue that Ali is that because it's easy heat, right? No one wants to hear people talking shit about Muhammad Ali. But at the same time, it was so rooted in competition and spite that, like, you kind of had to, tip the cap to it as a heel promo, right? Like, anyone watching that would be like, fuck this guy. and that's what he's going for. And I'm not going to say I'm excited for the match, but I think to their credit, if they have to do this match, which again, they didn't, full disclosure, but I think they've done the best job they can over the last couple of weeks. The retirement stipulation adds drama and the promos have been great. Last night's show was an old school go home in a lot of ways, because although you had the Hobbs and Cage and the FTR matches, these kind of feud matches, it was about the promos, right? I mean, it really was. I mean, you had you obviously had the Punk segment, all that stuff. Sting's big promo, which we should probably get into. It was a promo show last night, plus a couple feuds getting their own match, right? Basically.
I'm going to read some super chats and then we'll talk about the Sting promo and kind of Punk stuff and a dragon potentially appearing. Taylor Wilde and Abyss versus from CM. Taylor Wilde and Abyss versus Daphne and Raven will always be the first bit of TNA I saw as a kid. Thought it was crazy. Such a sad day. Daphne was great in TNA, great in WCW. The WCW act with Crowbar and David Flair, like an underrated act. It certainly won't. People aren't going to go back and be like, oh yeah, this was like high art television. They made the most of just some garbage.
Yeah, it was, and that was, you know, the phrase I used earlier. Maybe it sounds hyperbolic, but they haven't seen that TV. But trust me, to be a memorable act in the time they were a memorable act was a feat. I mean, that was not, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of good TV then, but they made the most of it. And Daphne was such a unique character at the time and way ahead of her time. Like, you know, and it's just, it's, the reason we went the way we did is because of our own experiences and our own outlooks. And like, it is important again to see that drama of like, you know, she was very significant. You know, it was, there's a lot of reasons why people are connected to this story. She was a great TV character, man. She really was, you know, and she was so different for the time. But yeah, you don't need to go back to that. I don't cry again. But you know, you get what I'm saying.
J.K. Shaw says, stopping in while I work in the hospital to say happy early birthday, Chief, and be filled with HFL theme, shoot Pepsis, and 3-hour streams on Patreon. Jeremy, see you in Chicago. Oh, are you going to be in Chicago, J.K. Shaw? V-trigger you. Let's go. Music and Moonsaults, our buddy Chris says, love you guys, everybody in the Distraction Universe. Take care of yourselves, people. Yes, please, please, everyone, take care. Again, reach out. You need to help a lot of super chats. Guys, thank you for all the support. And I know a lot of it has to do with our earlier topic, and I want to make sure everything gets read, and we'll continue to give proper time to that. Tobe Suicida says, thank you both for building this great community. I appreciate you both and everyone in the chat more than you could ever know. All hail together. Tobe Suicida, you're a great man, even if you dropped the AEW from your name. Frank Aguilar said, I've struggled with depression since I was 7. You guys always help distract me, pun intended, when I'm feeling down. Thank you for replying to my DM the other week. Love you guys. Thank you, Frank. Another just, we've really done, and this is not fully us, but the community that we've helped create, it's a really great community. And, you know, if you've never talked to anybody in this community, or you're afraid to talk to somebody in this little community, don't be. Like, we message with people regularly, and everyone is just good people, all helpful. They just want to banter, they just want to have fun, just like us. So if you've never talked to JJ or Kylo or Frank or Chris, talk to them. Talk to everybody.
He is very cool, you know, and I try my point. Anyone DMs me, I respond to him, because, like, you know, they just watch our dumb show, right? It's friends of ours, really, at this point. It's what it is. I appreciate it. That's very cool.
Josh Baker says, it seems likely that Lana has been helping him craft this character the whole time. Yeah. Yeah. Very possible. Eric Z says, love this community. What a close. I don't think Punk, because of one of the complaints before, but Kenny and Christian doesn't do it for me unless we get Brian. And that's why I think Kenny and Christian does close, because I think Kenny's winning that. And then Punk, and then we get Brian.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I have faith in Christian and Kenny working them, you know, into it. But I have to say, and that comment is correct. Like, I think Punk would be very fearful of being a hypocrite in that regard. But, like, it really feels like Punk's the main event, dude. Like, yeah, whether he's on last or not, I have to be honest with you, I'm not a big Derby guy, and I was never a Punk guy, and I think he's the main event by far. Like, there is such an intrigue to that match. I actually can't wait to see what Punk looks like. Generally, I cannot wait, and I'm quietly confident. Not even quietly, I'm doing it on a podcast. I'm bullish on Punk. I mean, he's going to have a very good match, and I think he's going to really adapt. And even if it isn't very good, I think the crowd will make it, you know, entertaining, but it really feels like the main event by a distance, man. I mean, it's just, and what's crazy about it is there is no build, right? It's just that he's the guy that called Punk out. We're going to do this match. And you saw last night, Jeremy, what I talked about last week, which is they don't want to create too big of a conflict here, right? Like, they don't want to, if you've got CM Punk fans that haven't watched wrestling in 7 years, you want him to come in and be like, Darby Allin's the man. You don't want him to be a dick to CM Punk. You want it to be like a friendly rivalry. Which, obviously, in Winterbase now, Sting. I mean, my God, what a perfect usage of Sting to set the table for that. Perfect.
Are you sure this is a good use of Sting? You don't think, like, you know, throwing statues into garbage?
I loved it, man. It was perfect. Like, he's like Darby's dad, you know?
Yeah. But say, I'm going to stay out of this. You two kids settle this on your own. Right? Like, you know, it was funny. Come inside for some cake and some juice boxes afterwards, and we'll get along. We'll watch some TV. But for right now, you guys just need to hash this out yourself like men.
I think it's interesting. I don't know what, you never quite know what audience is watching it, right? So, like, I do think there are people that watch AEW that didn't watch all of Punk's main event run, right? I think that's possible. You know, I fit that bill probably to some extent. How much does it make Punk seem even more special when Sting is like, man, I always want to cross paths with you? Like, and he puts immediately, and this is fair because Punk was a mega star, so I'm not saying it was a stretch. What I'm saying is, immediately establishes Punk as a Sting level icon to anyone that's watching that show. And I think most people get it anyway. But then that brings the match up as a result, right? Like the idea that Sting has always wanted to cross paths. I mean, granted, he said going to sleep, which isn't ideal. He also got his own name wrong. He said the Stinger Death Drop, which I'm pretty sure is Scorpion, but you know, it is what it is.
Just changed the name, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. Sting, right? Yeah. Sting became a good promo somewhere in there in TNA, and I don't know if that's a big enough topic. There he is, yes. Sting, who was a character on this show for months before he ever was back in wrestling, by the way. Remember that?
He was. I had the face paint. Yeah, I had the little toy that's, I think, in my closet right now. But now I've got the little minifigure here that sits on my desk. It's the only wrestling figure I have on my desk, a little Sting thing.
So there you go. So look, just that point, Generation here in the chat says, I didn't watch any of Punk. I stopped watching off WCW. So he's a perfect example of someone that probably was like, if he didn't believe before that Punk was a big deal, when Sting says some shit like, I wish we could have shared the ring, but we're here now. My God, I mean, he's, you know, that's an icon. That Sting's, he's Sting, for goodness sakes. We know the deal.
Were you surprised that they did the GTS last night instead of saving it, teasing it during the match and people having the anticipation of, oh, it's his first one since 2014?
Steve, if you'd have asked me before the show what they should do, I would have said, don't let him get physical until the pay-per-view. After seeing it, though, I think it was the right play. I think, you know, you have, because of the reason we talked about last week with Punk just being like, he's just being himself, right? I do think they needed to do some physicality because otherwise it would have just been like, he comes out every week and he's like, I'm happy to be here. Darby's cool. You know, he added an edge. And by the way, he was fired up, man. I mean, when he was throwing those punches in the corner, he was kicking the shit out of I forget their current names. I'm sorry, they changed them a lot. You know, the 2.0 guys, bless them. But he was blown up after he was going so crazy. Now he was fired up. He's raring to go, Jeremy. He's really raring to go.
That is what I'm worried about, though.
Yes.
I'm worried about his gas tank on Sunday. And this is why Darby is like a good first opponent, is because Darby will just fling himself around so Punk doesn't have to expend a ton of energy. But he's going to come out. That adrenaline's going to be pumping like crazy, like probably more than his first promo. And he's gonna go through. And Darby don't slow down. That's the thing. Darby and Kai, like, all right, grab a hold, slow it down here for a second. Like, Darby's going to make him work a little. And Punk might have issues with that because it's a difference. I'm sure Punk's been training. Punk's been in working out and everything. I'm sure he can run 20 miles today, no problem. Big difference getting in the ring
With nerves, right? And he's nervous. And I actually like that he put that in his promo. I like that he added the kind of sports element of, I'm wrestling 7 years, this could be the end. It felt like a fighter's press conference. I loved all of that stuff. I also really enjoyed the visual of those two going face to face. And it was this weird generational moment of, fuck, like, Punk is now the status quo, right? Like, Punk now looks like the normal wrestling star opposite Darby. Like, you know, once upon a time, Punk would look up at a guy like Batista or Cena and it'd be like, oh, you know, they would sit there and say he doesn't fit. And he's like, I mean, he now feels like a standard top guy compared to Darby. And why I like that isn't a criticism. Why I like that is because, to me, you know, Punk kind of set the stage for a guy like Darby. If you really think about it, right? Darby can be a top guy in pro wrestling, rightly so, because of your talent. And, you know, same for Jungle Boy, whoever, these guys that aren't built as traditional top guys. Punk's part of that story. Same with Bryan Danielson, who apparently could be there on Sunday. It's special. It really is kind of wild that not only have they got two of the biggest stars of the last 20 years, but they've got the two stars that perhaps most encapsulate what AEW is supposed to represent. For better or worse, man, whether you like it or dislike it, they're kind of, AEW is kind of this idea that, like, forget those ideas of the scouting report with a guy's look or this, that, and the next thing, right? Like, we talked about Eddie Kingston earlier. We would get the deal with Eddie Kingston. It wasn't going to happen for him up there.
Couldn't afford a role. What are you going to do?
Right. And AEW at its best represents the idea that, well, if they can do wrestling, they can fit here, you know? And that's where you see Nick Gage in a TV main event. Brian and Punk are the ultimate of that. And Darby is obviously, you know, he's a young version of the same thing. It was a really cool visual. And then you got Sting's obviously there. Fuck, that's even crazier. But that was very cool.
Anything else from last night and All Out that you would like to hit?
I mean, Matt Hardy's Fiend didn't play.
Sorry to hear that.
I am too. I'm bummed out.
Admit it. How disappointed were you that like they just did that angle? I thought that was they did it because they needed the buy-in thing, right? But when we did the Patreon show, we were like, they're gonna do Jack Evans, Orange Cassidy. Like they gotta have something on top of this. And the something was just, HFO attack. We get a save. We set up a 10-man for the buy-in as a last minute because a match got replaced and we had to move a match up and we needed an extra match for this.
Right.
Like, how bummed were you that was what it all led to?
I'm really trying to – I'm being careful with this bit, not for the obvious reason, but because I think there's a chance that Bud doesn't show up in, like, an actual promotion for a while and he just pops himself on indies, in which case this bit really will come off the rails. I don't know. I didn't expect it. I mean, I definitely did, but I will say that them booking a match purely to do a picture-in-picture finish is tremendous, TK. Almost as funny as Billy Gunn turning on Paul White.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
It was something.
They needed some extra heat for that tall ball QT Marshall match.
Listen here, okay. When crazy shit happens at wrestling and they shoot one fan's face, like when CM Punk came out and the great reaction to the guy crying? Yeah. When Mark Henry comes out to save Paul White, you better react big enough that they shoot you, pal. I'm telling you. I want to see your face crying with Mark Henry.
All right. That's what I'm going to go for on Sunday, since I don't care about any of these matches except for one. I'm just gonna do like the top, you know, over-the-top reactions and hope to get on television that way.
Yeah, what kind of dog would do that, right? I mean, look, bless the guy that cried. He didn't do it. Some of the characters there last night have been doing it for years. Anyway, enough of that. Penelope Ford and Ty Conti, I thought, was very good. And I was really happy for those two. But let's be honest, when they went out there, Ty always gets a good reaction to just like her. But they were kind of, once the bell rang, they kind of settled. And the start of the match was a little rough and shaky. And the people weren't really with it. And then by the end, they'd really kind of convinced the people, right? There was some this is awesome chance for a moment there. They were trying for Ty. And I think it was in picture-in-picture they were doing that, so you guys didn't see it. But that was nice. And then you got Anna Jay and someone else in the chat about the Battle Royal. But before even that, like, that match felt like kind of, and it's not big progress, I'm not celebrating it or throwing a party. That felt like a positive step for the division in that, like, it was, even in the most simple story, it was a story that carried across all three of the A show, like last Wednesday, Friday, this Wednesday. You know, like,
yeah,
it was a star versus star matchup to some extent with Penelope and Ty. It wasn't one of those ones where you were just like, you know, they've just slotted Penelope to lose. They both felt important. I think Penelope needs to win more on the A shows. She loses a lot on those. But I liked the match. It was good.
It was. Chris Alvarez says, couldn't send a clip because I was settling into in-person college. Sorry. Wasn't able to get time, but happy birthday. God, I cannot speak today. Happy early birthday, Joseph. Love this community. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, buddy. Chris had another comment that I wanted to. He said it in the chat. Now I can't find it. He wanted me to start the tall Paul chant. At all. I'll try.
Tall Paul is legit. QT has like 18 people in his corner.
Yeah.
How great was it when Paul just like chopped Aaron Solo? Like he did a dive on the ropes. Paul literally grabbed the top rope to hold up. So who's winning the casino battle royale?
Chelsea Green.
Sorry to hear that.
Interesting
match. Very interesting match in terms of the result because
people are gonna say Ruby.
Right, go ahead.
People are gonna say Ruby. I kinda because it's just gonna be like a dynamite match, I think it might be like Anna or Tay.
See, here's the thing. I would be very tempted to do maybe not Chelsea because she's been seen an awful lot on every other wrestling promotion. But like I would be tempted to not do Ruby. And I know why people would get mad, but like I don't really want to win it for the reason you just said, but then like I definitely don't want to just be in it and just get thrown out, like, and you know. So It's the one thing, because I think she's a star, man. I'd rather bring Ruby in an angle.
You can get like some good heel heat on somebody who tosses Ruby. Like, who's a good first opponent for like Ruby? Like, if Nyla Rose tosses her, like that's an easy program to work right there. Nyla and Ruby.
It's true. The thing with Britt is it feels like it's time to just book Britt as a babyface.
Yeah.
Dude, maybe you just have Jamie win the thing and just turn Britt baby. Fuck it. Like, I get it. So I get it's wrong and it's not the right way to tell the story. But like, let's be real. What's the point of doing Britt as a heel? Like, I get she's great here, but just let her be the same character and book her against heels. They did it with Nyla. Yeah. They can do it again. Like, and then who would that be? I guess I would really like to see them roll the dice on Diamante. I don't know if they're going to. I really like what I've seen of her on the C shows recently, and I think she's come a long way since she was, you know, first in AEW. I don't know if she's the right spot for here. Like, who's actually pull up? I'm going to pull up the...
I got it.
God forbid. You got it? Okay, yeah. Who are the heels in that match? You know,
Nyla, Penelope, Bunny. You said within reason, Hater. And
okay.
That's about it as far as heels. Like, I don't think Abaddon's winning. Some of them, I'm not sure if they're babyface or heel. Kylan King, like, I not sure.
Yeah, she's not really heel. Yeah. I would be very tempted to do the Diamante deal for a TV match.
Yeah.
I would be very tempted. I think her character is shades of gray enough, as the kids say now. Apparently that's the end thing. You should ask Bob about it sometime. That well, you Joseph, could do the
you know, we no longer live.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. Like, legit Layla, like, a character that's kind of, I don't really like Layla because I think Layla's just such a great baby face, but like, basically what I'm saying is don't pick a pure baby face because I kind of think they could get booed.
Yeah.
So as much as I like Ty Conti, her coming out with a big grin and smiling and like being really happy to people just being like, DMD, you suck, would not be ideal. And I don't know if they'd do that. I actually don't think they would, but like, that would be my one concern. I would rather go with someone who's a little bit easier to adjust. Now, like, Jade came up in the chat. I don't know if they're ready to do that with Jade. She's kind of in an awkward, like, they're stalling, but they don't want to take her off TV deal. So, I don't know.
I don't think she's even in the match.
She is.
Is she?
Yeah, she's definitely in, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Smart Mark announced her on one of the C shows, I think.
Oh, all right.
Because they did that segment last night, right? You remember the one with Nyla where they beat up Thunder Rosa?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, Taxel says, does Thunder Rosa take the belt off of Britt? And it's like, I actually like this one, the N in the H. He says about they've already done Swole. I actually think that's more the reason to do it. She beat her in that very weird dentist thing they did,
yeah,
which we won't talk about. But she did beat her, and there's a conflict there. It isn't what I just described a minute ago, but at least you could circle back to it. I actually like that. And Swole's been on the bench for a long time, and I think a lot of that is circumstantial. Her last few performances on those YouTube shows, I think, have been really encouraging. Her and Julia Hart had a really nice tag this week with Nyla and Diamante. So I would like to see her slide back in. That's actually what I would go with. The N in the H with a correct call. I think that would be a good call. Big Swole. In about a year since her and Britt did stuff. I think that can work, Jeremy. There you go.
There you go. Evan Wright says, are we saving Anna Jay's return for Bob's segment? Bob's not on the show today, right? If you're looking
he's
for...
He's a sorry piece of shit.
Factual.
I mean, she, dude, how happy for Bob? Like, he did this big tweet and he... Bless his heart, man. He's so happy that people enjoy his presence on this show. And like, if you follow us on Twitter, I want you to go to Twitter now. And I do this on Patreon a lot in a negative way. I'm going to do it positively here. And he may even be in the chat.
He was earlier.
Go on Twitter. Yeah, and I want you to at Robert O'Neill 31. Right, 31?
Yes, I'll do this with everybody. Everyone go on Twitter. All right, what message are we sending him, Joseph?
I think you just say, hey, bootlicker, you fucking rule. Hey, bootlicker, comma, you fucking rule. That's the tweet.
All right, everybody. At Robert O'Neill 31. Hey, bootlicker, comma, you fucking roll. Period or no period?
I think we do period, yeah. Yeah, okay. Let's do that. Right. And, you know, I think we can't be too – we need to put the bootlicker in there to keep him grounded. But I do think it's important, Bob. Bob's really only recently discovered that we like him, we in the audience, that is, as a collective we. it's so cool to watch Bob's confidence surge as a member of this dumb program. You know, people are actually going to miss him today, Jeremy. You realize that, right? Bless his heart.
They should miss him. We got Bob over so much. It's kind of crazy. Like, we really deserve. This is why we hang banners.
The pal Ryan's trying to pop me here. Seen his call for the Joker?
What am I looking at here?
Is the pal Ryan Pig.
Oh, the van. The van,
baby. Did you see the vignette?
I wrote about the vignette. I wrote an article just on that vignette.
I'm telling you, I'm not even doing a bit.
You know where that's from, right? Like,
yeah, but just generally, like, people think I'm doing a full-on bit, but like, I actually think there's something to her personality. Like, yeah. She's interesting. I would pop huge if she was the Joker.
I like the Legally Blonde tribute she paid with that vignette. We have a running joke, and it's really just me. But anytime like there's a, because nobody else gets it in our chat, in our Skype chat, anytime there's like a Vanessa Bourne article to write, and look, there ain't that many, but anytime there is, I was like getting the van, whatever. And every single time Sean is like, what the fuck are you talking? The van? What is this? I'm like, Vanessa Bourne, Sean, come on. It's mad at me actually, every single time.
She does strike me as someone. Oh my God, how many people tweeted Bob is amazing. She does strike me as someone that I could see landing in an Impact and really surprising people with her personality. Yeah. I, partly a joke, and it'll be very funny when she lands somewhere because my timeline will be very funny. But like that vignette kind of proved what I was getting at. It's like when she would do promos and stuff, there was something to it. She would actually be a fun joker purely because, and I think it was the pal Hester mentioned in the chat. I mean, the last joke was Leo Rush, and love Leo Rush. He's tremendous. Nothing but like, he obviously wasn't coming to be a top guy in AEW, right? He was a case of someone they featured, and he got eliminated. Unfortunately, the follow-up was it affected, which sucks. But that does kind of tell you, like, these jokers could be more, oh, that's cool, rather than, oh, my God, the whole game just changed, you know? And I don't know if Vanessa fits that bill for everyone, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ruby is saved for an angle, is what I guess my point is. But I do agree with you also, you could set up a feud. So we shall see.
I'm counting how many people has messaged Robert.
Oh, bless him. I'm glad I put the bootlicker in there. It's just a swift insult before we get to the nice stuff.
My God, tremendous. Thank you guys for doing that. He'll appreciate that, maybe, hopefully. Anything else from the AE dub?
There must be something else, right? Usually we do longer than this. I don't know. It was good, man. I like the show.
It was like, yeah, I'm excited for that one match.
Did you like the closing angle of Dynamite?
I liked afterwards where Tony Khan was freaking out. You know, it didn't make air, but in arena people took a video of it and him freaking out, being very angry. And he said there will be no outside interference in this cage match on Sunday, which, good job, Tony. That's the point of the cage. I like that.
Yes.
It was a good closing angle. It got some good heat on the Young Bucks, and I thought it was well done. I enjoyed it.
I liked the angle a lot. It was just a shame that as great as AEW crowds are, they aren't like
the crowd can only.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's like, and this is not me saying it used to be better, guys. The business has changed. Jeremy told me that many times months ago. It's fine. But there was a time where people would have been climbing the fucking cage to save Christian and the guys. And that's what that angle is a tribute to. You know, it's just, what that angle is from. Crowds now just kind of sit there. And AEW crowds play along very well. And it is playing almost fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's where wrestling is. Again, I like it. Fine. But it did feel like a segment would have come off so much better if people were going berserk and screaming and shouting. And instead, they just kind of sat there and was like, oh, is it going to be a save? You know, and it was, they popped for Marco climbing up, which was a nice deal. But I think it was the right idea, and I like the segment as establishing the cage. The execution was probably a 7 rather than a 10, if that makes any sense. It could have done it better, but it was good. I liked it.
I didn't think the crowd was like great last night.
I think they're miking these crowds badly.
And that's very possible. I remember when I was there for Full Gear, and everyone, the television people watching at home were like, oh man, you can't hear anything. Like the crowd just sounds like they're dead. And you're there live and it's like, we're going crazy for everything. Yeah, if that's the case, then they got to figure that out. And, you know, they're back on the road. It's been a while since they've really mic'd crowds, but that's been an issue for them in the past. And it's something they definitely got to figure out, because you can't have what sounds like a dead crowd on Sunday.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's not, you know, it's certainly interesting. They're at that venue twice more.
Yeah.
I agree with Will there. The power, my God, Will's watching the show. Interesting choice of time there, Will. I mean, he's also right in saying the masks are a thing. I do think that's an actual thing. But
that's fair. That's definitely fair.
Because there's been some times on the road where they've sounded like electric. Like, I remember Austin especially.
Yeah.
When they hit Austin, that place was.
Well, those stunning. Were. Yeah, that first month of shows, I think the crowds are going crazy the whole time. And maybe I didn't take the mask into account because. Yeah, it's not something I'm used to, honestly. But yeah, that would muffle the noise a little bit. So that does make sense.
Yes. Did you enjoy PNP and FTR?
It was good. It was a very good tag team match. And, you know, the right guys won. And we both think they're setting up for the Arthur Ashe match, right?
I think so. Though, again, they have kind of convinced me that Lucha Bros have got a real shot there, which is good. I'm excited.
But even if Lucha Bros win, like, they can still do that match at Arthur Ashe. You just don't think.
Yeah.
The title change might be a little less likely because they're usually not too keen on quick title changes.
The thing is I think Kenny's dropping it at Full Gear.
Right.
So it would make more sense for the Bucks to lose it. Like, what would that be, like 6 weeks before Full Gear? And then you kind of do the thing where it's like Kenny's holding on for dear life. You know, I think the whole pay-per-view cycle, I think, would be a little long in between time. But, yeah, I still think Young Bucks keep the belts and drop them to Santana and Ortiz. But anyway, I know that you're getting on edge here because you have something to do. I don't know what, but here we go.
I don't have something to do. We got to talk about NXT changes. I put that in the headline. I don't want to disappoint people.
I thought we had like a time cue to hit with this 4 p.m. thing.
No, it's fine. We delayed the show anyway.
Oh, okay.
I'm about to do a 15-minute video package for you, Joseph.
So. You do have to understand, though, that I don't know what this is, so I don't know like how time-reliant it is. I don't know if there's like a bomb that's about to go off nearby. I mean, I don't know what you've got planned, so I just was just trying to set you up for that. But NXT changes. You know what my take on that is, Jeremy? Sorry to hear that.
Good take. I think it's good. I like the logo. What do you think of the logo, Joseph?
Tremendous rib. Everyone's critique being that it shows dark and then just going, fucking make it rainbow.
Yeah, good.
God bless, man. You can only enjoy it.
Joel Pearl says Dynamite did over 1 million and then a 0.38 in the demographic. Seems good.
I've said it a million times. I mean, everyone's waiting for like sudden shifts and it's just like.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, they're doing good. Like, hovering around that million. TNT's really happy with it.
Yeah.
Critically, the show is a hit. Like, this is, you know, like, commercial stuff is interesting. And if you're really into it, that's awesome. You can watch wrestling however you want to. But I do think people are waiting for this, like, seismic, like, NWO just debuted shift. And it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know if it worked.
Factual. All right. Nothing on NXT. You're not getting. Can I get more color on that? Joseph, that was a layered.
Good stuff. look, I've given a serious take before. I think that Triple H did a lot right. I think he definitely could have built more homegrown stars and more guys that would have suited Vince. But if we're being really honest, he handed a lot of ready-made money acts. He certainly didn't make Shinsuke, Bobby Roode, or Andrade by any means. But by the time they went up, they could have been players. They wasn't. And, you know, we all know that dude that's to blame for that isn't going to blame himself, and he's surrounded by dudes that ain't going to blame him. So, unfortunately, Hunter has to get stuffed in a locker. I'm not going to cry for him. It seems pretty funny. I've cried enough today. I don't need to cry about Hunter, but it's pretty funny if you ask me. I'm not, you know. Here's the thing. I feel bad for people that love the product still because it's probably going to change dramatically. Everyone that watches the show knows I don't care. Like, it is what it is.
All right, everyone. Joseph, your birthday is on Sunday, right?
Yes, we've convinced everyone that it's actually today.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'm
sorry to hear that.
I asked people to send birthday messages. I didn't know how many I was going to get. I didn't realize it was going to turn into a 15-minute video package that was originally scheduled to open the show. But I'm going to air this video, and then maybe we'll make Joseph cry again. Gotta set it up. It takes a second. It's a 15-minute thing. It's very long. Yeah. All right.
It's fair.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Oh god.
I don't want you to leave the camera running because I'm afraid that asshole Sean Rossap's gonna hear what I really think of him. You know, he only wants me around now when he's not even there. So fuck him. What's next for today? Oh, is he on that fuck around show? Which one is he? The Brit? Fuck the British. All right. Turn on the charm, Hawkins. All right. 3, 2, 1. Happy birthday, Joe Holbert. Make it a good one. No, really. Fuck the British. Can't stand them.
Hello, Chris from Music and Moonsaults here, wanting to wish Joe a very happy birthday. I was going to get Joe a cameo, and my first thought was Matt Hardy. I was going to get him a Matt Hardy cameo. Matt Hardy is very responsive. It says he responds in 24 hours, so I'm like, that's ideal. I'll get it and send it off, and it'll make it in time for the show. Well, he's Big Money Matt for a reason. And I couldn't shell out that kind of dough. So I went scrolling. Buddy Murphy is on Cameo. Good old Bud Matt. I was gonna do that, but he seems to be a little slower. I was a little worried that it wouldn't get here in time. So instead, I printed out this picture of good old Bud Matt, saying and I made him say happy birthday there to Joe. But in all seriousness, Joe has been so good to me as I continue to make my way in this as a I'm D-list as being kind. But anyways, he's helped me a lot with my podcast, been on a few times, and just is always very encouraging to me and a super great dude. So happy birthday, Joe. I can't wait for the day when you are knighted for your contributions to the pro wrestling talking head industry. So cheers, Joe.
So I was going to come on here today and try to be funny, do a bit, stay on brand for what the distraction is. But honestly, I just want to come on and say happy birthday, Joseph. I really mean it. You're a great guy. I really appreciate when you have me on your shows. I love that you're such a big fan of wrestling, and I really enjoy hearing your perspective on wrestling. Like, all jokes aside, not trying to be funny, like, dead serious, I really, really enjoy the stuff that you do. I think you do great work, I think your writing's really good, and I like your perspective on your podcast, I really do. So, happy birthday, Joseph. I really hope you have a great day. Hope you get to watch some good wrestling this weekend. We got All Out, we got GCW, a lot of good stuff to watch. And I'm looking forward to hearing your opinions on these shows afterwards. So have a great week. Have a great weekend. Hope you have a very happy birthday. And I'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks for being a friend. And have a good one.
Yo, I want to wish a very, very, very special happy birthday to my good man, Joseph James Jerome Holbert, the man himself, the feature slayer, the feature king. Happy birthday to you, good man. I hope you have a blessed one today. You know, me and you go back since I don't even know how long, been at least several years now, maybe 4 or 3. I appreciate you. Thank you for all your support. You've always been good to me, always been a good friend. It's always been cool to see you, you know, sort of find your spot in wrestling media. I know you had some points where it seemed like you had, like you thought about, you know, stepping away completely, but I'm glad you didn't. A lot of us glad you aren't. You are still, you know, in this space because you contribute a lot. So yeah, man, Joe, I appreciate you, bro. Thanks for all your support again. And you know, happy birthday. I hope you enjoy your day. I know it's the 5th, and I think you're gonna see this message before then, but still, yeah, happy birthday, man. And I appreciate you, and you know, keep doing your thing, bro. So much love to you and yours.
Joseph, happy birthday. I hope you have a great
day. Joseph, it's your special day. So, as the Distraction's favorite band, I thought I'd give you a special live performance. This song's called Joe Holbert. Hey. Today really means a lot to me. It's the birthday
to a Hollow Birch. Hey! Birthday! Hey! Have a good one, pal.
Joe! I just realized that recording this video, I think, is the first time I've recorded anything with you, and it's not like a media call or me cutting a promo or anything in gimmick. And that's beautiful, because your ability to get on board with absolute silliness makes the distraction a better place. It makes Fightful a better place, and this industry a better place. This business a better place, dare I say, this great sport. So thank you so much for being so wonderful and warm and kind and inviting me on for all sorts of silliness and fun. And I know that in the past I've been pretty hard on you and Jeremy, and that's it. Happy birthday.
I'm gonna let you finish with the rest of these video messages, but I just wanted to say that Joe Hulbert had the greatest NXT conference call.
Joseph, happy birthday, pal. Hope you have a great one.
So Joseph Hulbert's birthday is coming up. Sorry, just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're old, Joseph. I wish you a very happy birthday, because you've been doing a lot of great work anywhere. You and Jeremy are doing a fantastic job with the distraction, and you're truly one of the nicest guys in this business, and also you're one of the funniest. So I wish you all the kind regards, and I hope you have a wonderful birthday. Now, Jeremy, can you please insert the whole Matt Hardy spinning wheel thing? I would appreciate that. Bye bye.
Birthday, pal.
Hey, Joe, it's Lindsay. I am not great at this whole talking thing, but I really wanted to tell you happy birthday, and I hope you have a great day, and yeah, happy birthday.
What's up, Joseph? Just wanted to take a minute, say, I hope you enjoy the bean cake, you know, whatever it is y'all do over there. You know, have a great birthday, man. We love you, appreciate you, have a good one.
The former head of the table here to wish Joseph Hulbert a very happy birthday. And in the words of the unwise bootlicker, Bob O'Neill, sorry to hear that. No, I'm actually very glad to hear that, because Joe, you've been such a inspirational and truly inspiring, just wonderful person in the past year that I've known you. One of the very few that makes Twitter tolerable. And I'm so happy I can call you a pal. We're winning. All hail, brother. Happy birthday.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think it's fair to call Joe and Jeremy frauds. Okay, so the blackout wasn't left for everyone, okay? I was stuck in the elevator for 2 hours and I had to go the whole time. But I don't blame them for that, because I turned into a dog once and they helped me. What? Joe's birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Joe. One of the best dudes on Twitter, one of the best featured writers out there, even though I know you say you're retired, but appreciate everything you do, and look forward to more distraction.
It's your birthday, Joe. I didn't know they celebrated those in England. What the fuck, man? Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, Joseph, it's your birthday, brother, and I just want to wish you a happy birthday. You don't know who the hell I am, brother, but I know you, and you, the content you create, you and Jeremy are just two good brothers. And from one good brother to another good brother, I wanted to wish you a damn good birthday, brother. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you get all the Bud Murph, Bud Matt in that you need. I hope the distraction provides you the fun you need, because it provides for us all the time, brother. Shout out to you and Jeremy for what you do. Hope you have a great birthday, too sweet, dude.
What am I doing? Okay. Hey, Joe. I wish you nothing but the best in your future endeavors. Birthday. Hey, Joe, happy birthday. What the?
What's up, guys? Just wanted to wish Joe Hulbert, the chubby chief, the Terry Funk of Fightful, a happy birthday.
Hola, Distraction Universe. This is a special message for Joe Hulbert. A happy
birthday to you, my friend. Thank you for everything that you do. You're a hard worker. Much love from JJ, head of PR of the distraction.
Joe, happy birthday. I'm sending you a dimly lit vertical video just to show everybody how important you are. It's also mirrored, as you can see. So the production values that I put into this, I spared no expense, which, you know, seems to be the case when it comes to the distraction, just blowing our budget. And today is no exception. You're incredibly talented. I am so happy that you and Jeremy have this show, even though there are times where I am not so happy that you and Jeremy have this show. But you guys have made it inarguably a success, and I'm not surprised at all. Happy birthday, my friend. Lucky to know you.
I remember about 20 years ago now, when I was at college, there was this white guy, quite handsome, you know, clean shaven, in shape. You could tell he walked with like an air of reverence about him. And I hadn't spoken to him, but he had a friend called Joe. And eventually when I started talking to Joe, he said, you know, he was thinking about doing writing, wasn't sure if he wanted to do it. And I really pushed him to go for it, you know, because why not? And yeah, you're welcome for your career. I want 30% of the distractions Patreon money. So I'm sure Jeremy will sort that out for me. Happy birthday from me and the demon slayer king, whatever his name is.
A Welsh happy birthday for you, Joe. Pemblo's happiest CT. And I know you always say leave the memories alone, but I don't want you to leave these memories alone.
Happy birthday, Joseph. I hope it's filled with grins. I hope you pop yourself all day, all night. And I hope that it's just the most awesome day you can have. And if it isn't, there's always tomorrow. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be your birthday at that point. You get what I'm saying, right? Like, happy birthday. But, like, have a lot of fun with it. But if you don't, then it's not your birthday. We're going in a circle here. So, you know what? Happy birthday, pal. Happy birthday. I got the streamers too.
Hey, Joseph, I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday and thank you for the countless hours that you pour into this community. And I've also got a buddy who has a message for you. He said he'll see you in Chicago.
Joseph, happy birthday, buddy. I've taken time out as I'm trying to learn how to do this dad thing to wish you a happy birthday, my friend. You're one of my best friends on this earth, and I love you dearly. And I really, really miss watching wrestling and bullshitting with you guys. And sooner or later, I'll be back at it. But until then, I want you to enjoy your day. And just know that I love you, buddy. And I'll be seeing you soon.
Hey, Joe. It's your wrestling brother, Matt. LK3185, I'm just here to wish you a happy birthday. You know, I know that this wrestling game is kind of messed up sometimes, but if it wasn't for people like you, you know, being so positive at times and passionate in like ways that I can't put into words, you know, like I can't write like you. I can't like spit that game on the podcast like you. And all that knowledge that comes out of your head is wiser than your years, you know? So I just, you know, if it wasn't for people like you, I probably still wouldn't be in this game. So, you know, cheers off to you, man. Unfortunately, the only thing that we disagree with is basketball. But that's something I can get over. Wrestling buddies for life. Love you.
Joseph, happy birthday, brother, you Drew McIntyre hating bastard. Hope you have a wonderful day, man. You are one of my favorite people to see on the timeline. Every day seems bad. Bud Murphy's good. Samoa Joe is good. Fuck Drew and Alex. All of that good stuff. It's my favorite, brother. You're one of my favorite guys out there doing features. And I rue the day Fightful snagged your UK art away from myself. But, Man, I'm so delighted to see everything that you're doing with the distraction and beyond. All the love, man. Happy birthday. Big McIntyre kiss for you.
Happy birthday, Joseph. I'm sorry for giving Jeremy the chocolate syrup and the fiend costume and the stepladder and basically doing everything to make the show great. I hope you have a great day.
Hey, Joseph. Actual journalist John Alba here. Me and my beloved Erica were on our evening stroll, and it just struck me that it's your birthday. So I was going to wish you happy birthday, but instead I'll resort to no comment.
Wow, man, that was something else. Wow, that was incredible.
Birthday, buddy.
I mean, I hope that all those people know it's not my birthday. Yeah, that seems, that seems like the rib within this bit. I have to say, look, everyone was great. I really do appreciate it. But I will never forget the look of horror in young Andrew Thompson's face as he hit record and realized what he had to do. That will stick with me forever. But no, that was way too kind. I hope you're ready for what my version of that will be when it's your birthday, because it's going to be very different.
Yeah, I hope so.
Slightly concerned about the range of Bud Matt references. Often question how I've branded myself around here, but, you know, we live and learn. Distance from the Fiendish shtick. Now we're the Bud Matt guy. Interesting choice. We'll see how that goes. That was something, man. I appreciate everyone that sent it me, and that was very cool. I liked it. Well, I mean, obviously, because we were very nice, but, you know. I didn't know how it was going to come across as, like, audio, video.
Right.
It was not particularly awkward for me, which probably tells you how big my ego is. I was just like, yes, all these things are true. I appreciate them. No, it was wonderful. Thank you, Jeremy.
Joseph, I promise that was not the biggest pop in distraction history. That was the cold open, Joseph. I promised you a gift, right? I said I had something grand. I said I had something spectacular for you. I said I sent you something. I lied. I didn't send you anything. I'm sorry, buddy. I do have a gift for you, Joseph. You noticed that I was not part of that video. I didn't actually make you a video. I'm on the show right now. I'll just message you on like Sunday. I'll wish you a happy birthday or something. I know when your actual birthday is, okay? I spent a lot of money on this gift, Joseph.
Oh,
I spent about $600 on this gift. Joseph, I think it's good though. I promise you, it's very good. I promise you, it's very good. I promise, Joseph. It cost me a lot. I hope you spend as much money as I spent for you. I hope you spend that on my birthday. Okay, just please. That's all I'm asking.
Joseph, what up, man? Happy birthday. Fuck the 76ers. Fuck them, I'm a Knicks fan, so. But happy birthday, dog. And
happy birthday.
Yeah, Big Chief. All I'm saying is, man, I like Wolverhampton. You know what I mean? I know it's good, but it's my shit. Happy birthday again, dog. Hi, Pete.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Wow. Wow, what a showing this has been from you, Jeremy. This is unlike any show we've ever done before, right? Fair to say?
Yeah.
Started with 3 minutes of crying on my part. Transitioned to some really half-hearted professional wrestling talk. I sat and got put over for like 40 minutes. Very awkward. Didn't know what to do myself, but popped myself along the way. And then there's Ed Kingston shows up at the end there. Man, I don't know. That was special. That was tremendous. Wow. I don't know how I follow this, Jeremy. I must say, but there you go.
I don't know what to say either, Joseph. I don't know either.
The Wolverhampton spot was not one that I expected to come up in my birthday shout out. Oh, man. You know what this sets up, right? I've been talking this whole show about what the running is on Sunday and got everyone expecting Lana. I'm going to come in there, right, in the TNT title match. I'm coming in, shoot an angle. Oh, man, that was wonderful. You really swung for the fences on this, Jeremy. I have to say, I respect it. I really do appreciate it. It was tremendous.
It cost me $600 to get Eddie Kingston to do that for you.
Sorry to hear that. My God, pal.
Joseph, genuinely, happy birthday, buddy. Even though it's not until Sunday. You know how much you mean to me and this show, so I'm not going to say it. Enough people put you over. Fuck you. Fuck That's the 76ers.
Fair. That's fair. We don't need to get any further here, right? We've gone far enough.
Anything else, Joseph? Are we going to be on Twitch?
I mean, I don't know. Do you want to do Twitch after that? I mean, what do we do here?
It's Luther was in the video. Shout out to Luther because, look, I'm not approaching Eddie Kingston at a bar and being like, hey, can you film this for my buddy? But Luther will approach Eddie Kingston at the bar and be like, hey, can you film this for our buddy? So Luther was the one who helped me set that up. And he jumped in there with his cameo. And here's a funny story. You notice he calls you Big Chief in there. He's like, I didn't want to call him Chubby. I felt bad if I called him Chubby Chief. I said, he named himself Chubby Chief.
It's fair. I mean, he's just a thoughtful guy, right? You can't argue with that. When you went down that route of $600, I was so... such anxiety struck me, dude.
I tried to throw you off of, like, I'm going to send you something. I tried to throw you off of what it actually was.
I really thought I was going to be assaulted here in my studio apartment. I truly thought that there was some sort of planned attack, you know? But we... Bless Luther, man. What a fitting way to kind of conclude things is an act from Luther, who was the first guy of any note. In fact, forget note. The first guy that liked our show. And I agree with slamming Sammy Joe says it. Big Chief is the canon now. That's what I am now, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie Kingston has dubbed you the Big Chief.
I cannot tell you, like, the amount of thoughts that went from my head when you said I spent $600 and I knew a video was coming. Like, truly terrible. Like, the worst of faults hit my head. But that was, I mean, it don't get any better than that, right? My God, that's awesome.
Joseph, hope you have a good birthday on Sunday. Guys, thanks everybody for joining us. We might be on Twitch, we might not. Check us out on Twitter, and we'll let you know if we'll be on the Twitch. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/FightfulSelect, but also patreon.com/TheDistraction. You can support us. How many hours of audio are you doing this weekend, Joseph?
I mean, forget this week, man. I mean, last night we did 5. So, you know, I was sorry to see that. The confirmed shoot is addicted to podcasting.
I've noticed.
Doesn't let me sleep anymore. You can sign up $1 tomorrow night. We're doing the late night grim with myself, confirmed shoot, Bob O'Neill, and the Oracle of Wrestling. I am not feeling too well. Shoot is ill, and so is the Oracle of Wrestling. So that should be a wonderful stream as Bob O'Neill, the only healthy member of the team, steps up to the plate as the lead scoring option. Seriously trying to make that Patreon thing worth, you know, give everyone bang for their buck, right? And it is literally a buck, unless you want it to be more. We're never going to do tiers or any of that stuff. We are really going for it. And you obviously pop on all the time, Jeremy. When you got time, you come on and join us like last night you did. It's a really nice community, and it's the start of the month. So if you want to have a go at, you know, $1, as you know, and again, you can do more. We don't expect you to. It's $1. That's more than enough for us. We appreciate all the support, man. Like, it's... I need to make it clear. The start of this show was very clear. I mean, we needed to do that. It was very obvious. We just needed to do that, right? That's what our show represents, because frankly, it's called The Distraction for a reason. And it's been that for us two dipshits, but believe it or not, and our DMs say this, Jeremy, it's been that for a lot of people. And I think, you know, the mental health element of this show is it can't be dismissed or forgotten. So I think it was important to say I have no issue with the fact that I came on here and cried. I want everyone to go and cry when they need to cry. You know, I wasn't gonna do that deal of like biting down on my tongue and taking the camera off. Fuck that. This is human. You know, we talk about wrestling, but let's be honest, it's about escapism, which is what wrestling is anyway, really. So this was quite the roller coaster, Jeremy. I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for the last 21 months now. You know,
since January of last year.
Right, and you know, we have so much planned, and we have so many dumb shows ahead of us. But I don't take for granted these shows. You know, this is a fun time for us. A lot of people out there want a platform. and we're lucky enough to have one. I think it's important we continue to share that platform best we can, whether it's via retweets, having people on as guests, and there's so many talented people out there that don't have the opportunity to just talk and come on and cry and do whatever the fuck they want to do about the stuff that you're going through. So we don't want to waste it. We want to make wrestling better for the people who watch it. And the only way we can do that is entertain you guys, maybe give you some insight once every month, I don't know, but mostly pop you, you know. I think it's hilarious that, like, when Danielle Camella comes out, there'll be like 20 people that pop more for it because of us dipshits. Like, that's funny to me. Bud Matt, same deal. Like, that's where our role is, man. One day we'll look back at this golden era of wrestling, which is what we're entering, folks. Appreciate it. It's a golden era. They'll look back here and they'll, for whatever reason, Jeremy, a few hundred people will remember it more fondly because of us two. And I'll remember it more fondly because of them. And that's a very nice sentiment. Before I start crying, we'll end the show there.
I can't say anything else, guys. Thank you. We really appreciate it. Talk to everyone on the Twitch, on the Patreon next week.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.